the transfiguration of Jesus. And what we're looking at, we had two readings, so it's quite important that we had that first one from Exodus, so sorry about that, Jeffrey. But you can see one was Moses in the days of old going up the mountain, encountering God and coming down, and the second was Jesus having a similar experience. Well, we're in 2017 now, over a year and a half ago, we went to the Holy Land. We went up the Mount of Transfiguration, and on the day we went there, it was a really damp, cloudy day. And as we went up really high, one or two of you here remember us going there, you know, it was both wet but also cloudy. It was really, really misty. You couldn't see very far. And that's the church that's built at the top. And it was there was a kind of eerie feel about it. But as we, during the time we were there, the cloud lifted and we suddenly had these magnificent views. And it reminded us very much of that account of Jesus being up the mountain when he's enveloped in this cloud and there's a dazzling whiteness. And then the disciples see him in all his glory. And that's the church, the inside of the church that's built on top of the Mount of Transfiguration. And you'll see there, that's Jesus in the middle with Moses and Elijah either side. And there's a little chapel either side, one for Moses and one for Elijah, built as like representative of the tents that Peter had wanted to build. So what do these accounts say to us? And in particular, this account in Luke's gospel. They tell us something about meeting with God and the effect that that has. Both Moses and Jesus had profound encounters with God. Both of them were anointed. You remember Moses, when he comes down the mountain, his face is so radiant because he's spent time with the Lord. Jesus, we read here, the appearance of his face changed, his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Both of them, in those moments of encounter, received anointing from God. And I want to think about that today. What does it mean to receive anointing from God? Why do we need to seek anointing from God? Well, in Luke's gospel, if you look, the passage just before the one that Jeffrey read to us today, Jesus is warning his disciples about his death. He's telling them what is going to happen. There's very much a sense in Luke's gospel that from the point of the transfiguration onwards, Jesus' heart and direction are set towards Jerusalem and the cross. And so he's warned his disciples. He said to them, you will need to deny yourselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. They're tough things about following Jesus, denying yourself, taking up your cross daily. We're about to step into Lent, where we'll be reminded that time and time again. That's why we are called to give up things and to take things on, so that we deny ourselves and take up our cross, and through it grow closer to Jesus. And Luke tells us that after this warning to his disciples, Jesus takes them up a mountain to Peter, James, and John, and they have this amazing encounter with God. And as a result, they come down changed. So I just want to pick out a few things from this. And the first of those is how God's anointing leads to that transformation. Now, I think the first thing to note with both Moses and Jesus, we'll look at the account in Jesus, is that it doesn't just happen. They're not walking along the road one day and suddenly God anoints them. What is Jesus doing? Jesus, we read, verse 29, as he was praying. As he was praying. He went up a mountain to pray. He went, if you like, on a retreat to seek God. He wanted to encounter God, and he wanted it to happen in that very special place. And the same was true of Moses. As they seek him, he meets them. Sometimes we feel that we're not affected by God. We look around, we might see other Christians, and we think, oh, you know, God's doing stuff in their lives. But I think God wants to meet with us all. We simply need to seek him. When Jesus prays, something happens. His appearance changes. His face and his clothes become as bright as a flash of lightning. So obvious, isn't it, that Peter and James and John notice. And when we are anointed by God, we change too. Other people notice us, sometimes visually, but more usually in terms of our lifestyle and our actions and our witness. One of the things as a diocese that we have been encouraging people to think about is about becoming an ambassador for Christ. We're called by Paul in his letter to the Corinthians to be ambassadors for Christ. In other words, called to be people who live out our faith in the world and share our faith with others. If you look on the diocesan website, you will see testimonies from people across the diocese who have recognized that call in their lives. There's three of them who are members of this church. I'm going to read one of them to you now. It's only recently gone up. It's from Holly Harrigan. Some of you will know Holly. Holly's at university in Brighton. Let me read you what it says on the website. You can look at this later on. In the second year of uni, I was the lowest I've been in a long time and was completely stuck in a pit. Every aspect of my life was breaking down. I was losing touch with friends and distancing myself from going back to my family home. I'd been kicked out of the band that I loved being a part of, and my mental health was secretly declining. Having walked past St. Peter's in Brighton almost every day in my first year, but never going in, I decided, with the encouragement of some friends at St. Stephen's, to try the Alpha course. I needed to know if there was more to life than this. Since Alpha, my life has changed in so many ways. And this is a key bit. I enjoy talking to my friends about my faith and about how God pulled me out of the pit. But most importantly, God has filled me with the happiness and love that I never received elsewhere and that I was looking for so long. Whatever situation we find ourselves in, God pours his love into our hearts. Recently, I went on a weekend away with about 40 students from my church and found myself uncontrollably crying during prayer and during worship. But I was no longer crying tears of pain and sadness. My tears came from the Holy Spirit, and I knew I was crying because of how much God has done for me and because of how much I love him. I've learned that following God isn't passive. We have to say yes to him every single day. My friends have told me that they've seen a huge change in me. I'm happier, more confident, have a completely new outlook on life. I started telling my friends about St. Peter's, and when I renewed my baptism vows, five of my non-Christian friends came to support me. Isn't that amazing? Such a beautiful story. Holly took a step towards God. She put herself in that place, like Jesus had, like Moses had, where they could receive from God. And what happens is God came running to meet her. And I want to say today that no matter how old we are, how long we've been a Christian, no matter what we feel like today, what our experience of life has been like, God wants to step towards us so that he can do the same for us. And two other brief points. The second is this, that when God anoints us, he commissions us. The disciples are gone with Jesus, they see his glory, and out of heaven they hear a voice speaking into the life of Jesus. This is my son whom I have chosen, they say. Listen to him. It reminded me of the words at Jesus' baptism. Much the same thing happens. You can look at that in Luke 3. God says to Jesus at the moment of his baptism, "You are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased." And wherever God meets with us, he speaks into our lives. He commissions us for his service. Every Sunday we listen to God before we pray, before we worship together. And we'll share some of those words and pictures later on, just like we normally do. They may mean nothing to many of us, but they will, I'm sure, speak into the lives of others. But God speaks not just on Sunday mornings, not just on special occasions. He speaks all the time. The trouble is, most of us are so busy that we don't listen to him. He calls us to stop, to take ourselves away in prayer, in seeking him and hearing him. Maybe that's something you could take on in Lent this year. Make a bit more time for God, a bit less time on social media or listening to the TV or reading a novel, and a little bit more time for God. We're going to be talking later on about 5 by 5 by 5, a way of reading the whole of the New Testament in a year. One chapter a day, 5 minutes a day. Maybe that's something you could take on. You'll hear God speak to you through Scripture. And then finally, God, when he anoints us, he encourages us to move on with him. Remember the story we read, that the disciples climb up the hill. And in verse 33, we see this. As the men were leaving, this is when Elijah and Moses had been with Jesus, and as they were leaving, Peter says to Jesus, "Master, it's good for us to be here. Let's put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." In other words, let's stay here. We're on the mountaintop. It's great. We've had a fantastic encounter with God. Let's stay here in this place. And what's Jesus's response? He says, "No, we've got to move on." Peter didn't know what he was talking about. And so Jesus leads them down the mountain, back into their ministry. Often life can, or maybe sometimes life can feel comfortable. It can feel good, and we just want to stay in that place. But you know, Jesus gives us those good mountaintop experiences, those special encounters, those amazing times in worship or in prayer, whatever it is, not so that we hang on to those, but so that we move on with them. We're called to move from the mountain into normal life. And if you look in Luke's gospel, what happens after this is that Jesus goes back into his day-to-day ministry. I believe that God wants to touch each of our lives. He wants to meet us by his Spirit. He wants to do things in our lives. He wants to bring about change and transformation. Sometimes we're just going about the ordinary and God will step in. You'll sing a hymn that you've sung 100 times before and suddenly a line will burn in your heart. You'll read a passage you've read before and it comes alive. That's God speaking. Sometimes he does it when we're out. So we had some beautiful days this week. If you've been outside, you might see and hear God encountering you in the beauty of his creation. He anoints and encourages us in so many ways. And I want to encourage each of us this Lent, as we start on Wednesday, journey through for the next 5 or 6 weeks, that we will consciously seek God, that like Jesus, we'll go up a mountaintop. It might not be a mountaintop, it might be a chair in a particular room, but we'll go to that place, that we'll read our Bibles, we'll listen to God, and we'll journey with him, that we will receive his anointing and infilling, that we too will have stories to tell, lives to encounter, and we will see him making a difference. Amen.